And let us turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, continuing in our consideration of Deuteronomy and God's revisiting of the law to the Israelites as they enter into the land of Canaan. And says very much to us today as we consider how do we live in this world as those who have been bought and paid for with the blood of Christ. And those who are citizens of the new heavens and the new earth, how do we live in this world? Because it is so easy for us to become complacent, to become more worried about the things of this world than about the things of God. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Thus far the reading of the word of the Lord our God. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, there is so much in this passage to remind us how God has dealt with us. And notice what he says about testing. We have to understand that God tests us. Why? That he may do us good. We so often think that hard times testing comes because God had his hand off of the control wheel for a little while, because God maybe wasn't having a good day. No, God tests us as his people to remind us what? But man does not live by bread alone. Jesus said this, of course, quoted this. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, verse 3. And so, brothers and sisters, how do we react in this world? We're called to trust God. Jesus said that if anyone comes to me not as a little child with that childlike trust, he can by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to have a childlike trust of Almighty God. And he is the one who cares for us. He has led us through the hardships, through the difficulties day by day of life. And he will not let go. He will guide us to the very end. But brothers and sisters, as well then, we are reminded of our duty as a part of that covenant to God, that we are called to obedience, to the fear of God. Of course, we are reminded that we are not saved by perfect obedience. Hallelujah. We are saved by the grace of God. But at that same time, we are called not to live like the rest of the world around us lives. We are called to live as those who have been bought with a price. We are not our own. We are purchased by God for His glory. And so as we live in this world, we can look back over our own history, and we can look back over world history and see the care of Almighty God. If you ever see ads on TV, if they ever have an ad for a financial company, they always say at the end of the ad, what? Past results do not indicate future profits or something like that, right? Why? Because they can't predict what's going to happen. But God has His hands on everything. And so past results from God does indicate what the future is going to be. God cares for His people, and God has cared for the people throughout history. And He will care for us all of the way to the end of our lives and all of the way through the heaven that He has purchased for us. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is we can trust the Lord's future blessings based on His past care of His people. We can trust the Lord's future blessings based on His past care for His people. In verses 1 through 6, we see that testing comes from the Lord in love. In verses 7 through 14, we see that we are not to forget God when He provides blessings. In verses 15 through 20, we see that we are called to remember the Lord your God and to hate false gods. So first of all, testing comes from the Lord in love. God promises His blessing through obedience. How do we react to testing? Well, life's getting a little rough. You guys who are in catechism, what do we say about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel? Life got rough, right? Did they say, oh, then we can live like these guys in this nation? No, they took a very special point to say, I'm going to be obedient to God in the midst of this testing. God calls us to obedience. God promises a blessing through obedience. Blessings of life and of descendants, if Israel were obedient to God's commandments, of course. It wasn't very long, and they were way off in left field, was it? God's commandments don't keep good things from us. They are there for our good, like the fence along a cliff. Now, if you ever watch people near the Grand Canyon, what do they want to do? Get on the other side of the fence, right? And we so easily want that as human beings, too. God, you're holding off from us something that's better. Is that true? No way. In God's fence is blessing. Deuteronomy 6:24, just a few couple of chapters previous, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these things, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is to this day. This is reflecting back on the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5. Those commandments are there for our good always. Truly, the Ten Commandments are for us the unfair advantage that the world thinks they get by breaking God's commandments. And God brings testing on us. And it is there to humble us because we so easily think I'm important. God, you got to listen to me. I know what I need. Remember, God says to Israel, the 40 years that God led you all the way through the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether or not we would keep his commandments. And what does he say? He humbled you, verse 3, allowed you to hunger. God allows us to go through hardship so that we learn to rely on him, not on our ideas of I need this or I need that. Exodus 16, verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And God says, this is how you're supposed to do it. Our life here is a time of probation. We are tested in this world whether we will obey God or not. It is a short time, if you think about it. We're going to be in heaven for eternity. 60, 70, 80, 100 years is not that long. The Apostle James puts it this way, James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Testing is about perfection, perfecting us, fitting us for heaven. And God provides for us through that testing. He fed Israel with manna through the wilderness, day by day. They didn't have enough for tomorrow, except for on Friday night, so that they could go through the Sabbath. And we so often want to know your plans 100 miles out, Lord. At least tomorrow, right? But God often doesn't give us that, does he? To make us know that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. What's more important? The word of God or my daily food? Again, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God does not change. God provides good gifts to us, his people. And God's word is our food to everlasting life. We need it. I seriously need to do a study sometime. A comparison of what the body goes through when we're starving and what the Christian goes through when they don't partake of God's word. I think it would be very enlightening. We have to ask ourselves, are we starving ourselves of God's word? Or are we partaking of it? My grandfather started, at least as far as I know, maybe it goes back further than him, reading the Bible at mealtimes. Because I need food for my soul just as much as I need food for my extra large belly. Because I need to partake of the Word of God. God's Word is more important than that food. Jesus quotes that fact in Matthew 4:4. That we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire it. What does a baby want? One of the most things a baby wants is what? To be fed. And how often do they want to be fed? Yeah, maybe once a week, right? Doesn't work out real well if we do that, right? Every day, often in the day. And God tested Israel and he says, your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell in these 40 years. God created this world. He knows how to make things last if we need them to. He made Israel's things last for 40 years in the wilderness. And here's an interesting application of that fact. God calls us to tithe. And if we do, he will make that 90% that's left over go further than the 100% will. He promises this in Malachi. And God chastens the people that he loves. You know, verse 5, as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Now think about chastening as God speaks of it here. There's the aspect of discipline. God corrects us out of love. Not as earthly parents who, though we love our children, fail. God does it perfectly. Think of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 9 through 11. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a certain serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God's not going to give us rocks when we ask for fish. God gives perfect and good gifts. Now, parents, don't allow their children to grow up like weeds. They chasten them so that they will grow up into good people, Christians. Proverbs 3:11-12, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father, the son, in whom his soul delights. We have to understand that God chastens us. God pulls us up short. That's not because God hates us, that's because God loves us. And God sends trials to correct our sins, to fit us for heaven. Not only is God talking, though, about discipline, he's talking about testing. God used the time in the wilderness to show Israel his care for them. Too often we don't trust God's care for us, which, by the way, is better than we could ever care for ourselves. And we as parents ought to test our children to show them that they can trust us and by extension then God. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of your Lord, your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 6. God tests us. God chastens us when we're doing wrong things. God says then, therefore, listen to them commandment things. They're important. I care about them. Jesus said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Luke 6:46. There's an awful lot of people who think that they can live like the world and be Christians. And God says the exact opposite. Now understand that we need to have a correct fear of God, especially of breaking his commandments, and that he will discipline in love, as a father chastens his children. But instead, we are to walk in his ways in obedience rather than disobedience or testing the line, sticking the toe over. And God promises blessing when we are obedient. Again, young men, when in catechism, question answer 63, had that really long question, right? The question is almost the more important part of that. Do our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? God will reward our good works. Y'all remember the answer, right? The reward comes not of merit, but of grace. But God will reward our good works in this life, here. There is a reward here for obedience to God, as well as in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth. And so we are not to forget God when he provides blessings for us. God gives us earthly blessings that lead us to his eternal blessings. The Lord brings Israel into a land flowing with blessings. Whether it's water, fountains, springs, wheat, barley, even copper and iron, things necessary for industry. A land in which you can eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. We have to understand how good God's blessings are. We live in a culture that says the first law of economics is what? Scarcity, right? The first law of God's economics is blessing, provision. He provides. When you have eaten in our full, God says. We have to realize we live in a Christian culture today that says, oh, don't eat those good things. Make life hard for yourself. We call it asceticism. And we're not to live here on this earth denying ourselves the good things God has given to us. That's why we can celebrate things with a feast. As long as we celebrate to the Lord. What we have on this earth is a gift from God. In the Old Testament, Israel was to celebrate feasts. Today we call them holidays or holy days, by the way. That's where that comes from. Israel was to gather from the corners of the country 3 times a year. In the New Testament, we have a feast to replace those. It's called the Lord's Supper. And by the way, I think we should be getting more than just a little chunk of bread for the Lord's Supper. And beyond that, I think while the Corinthians failed somewhat, the idea of having a fellowship meal after the Lord's Supper can be biblical. I think it's something we should think about. But not only do we have earthly blessings, we have eternal blessings, heavenly blessings. The blessings that God gives us here should make us realize how good God is and wonder at what God has provided for us. God promises us no sorrow or sin in heaven, Revelation 21:3-4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Notice one important thing. God himself is with them. Oftentimes we forget that as a part of the blessing of heaven. The positive is they're going to be in the blessed presence of God. And the negative is there's no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow or death. And so we're to bless the Lord for all his benefits. When we live in this world and we receive good things, when you have eaten in our full, he says, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Thank him, praise him for everything that he has given to us. But on the other hand, our impulse as human beings is to forget God when things go well. Beware that you do not forget God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day. It is easier to get complacent when things are going well, instead of realizing and being thankful to God for his blessings. We so easily want more, 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 more. He says, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds, your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold are multiplied, and you all that you have is multiplied, prosperity can be more of a test than hardship. So don't let your hearts be turned aside by the things of this world or to the things of this world. He says, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, do not forget the sin, the bondage to sin, the hell which bound us without Christ. Instead, spend our times in thanksgiving. This is the right response to God's provision. We have been given a far greater gift than just an earthly home. We have eternal life to be thankful for. We have the opposite to be thankful, to be released from the punishment and the curse of hell. Don't forget when life seems easy. Remember the Lord your God and hate false gods. Remember God's watch care for us through hardship. God's past provision for Israel through a terrible and great wilderness. God led Israel through where there were fiery serpents which bit them and killed them. Remember that this was a punishment on their forgetting God. God fed Israel through the wilderness with manna to test them. Again, they had difficulty trusting God. God said, get so much for each person a day. And they got more, and it rotted. Or God said, get twice as much on Friday, so you have some for Saturday, for this Old Testament Sabbath. But initially they didn't, and they went out Saturday morning saying, where's my manna? Isn't that how we are? I want God, you provide my way. No, we need to trust God. That's this whole idea. To realize God isn't lying with us. God isn't playing tricks on us like our culture tries to. God tells us the truth. If we are obedient to Him, if we follow His commandments, His laws, He will bless. And beyond and above that, when we have very good things, we need to realize that God is the one who provides them and thank Him, not trust our own hands. Say, my hands, my ability has provided this. God is the one who provides. Instead of saying that my power, my might have gained me this wealth. God gave Israel wealth on the way out of Egypt. He further gives them wealth as they enter the land of Canaan. Earthly riches only go so far. God provides more than that. God provides us eternal riches. Build on Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones. Laboring for the kingdom of God and not for stuff that what? Moth and rust destroy? Thieves break in and steal? We get old? It falls apart? Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. God's the one who provides the ability to get wealth on this earth, not our strength, our ability, our smarts. But notice where he goes with that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers. Again, this is to generation and generation. Each generation needs to stand before God and say, I'm going to carry the covenant that God had to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That I will believe and I will follow God to the best of my ability. And then he says, worshiping other gods is beyond reason. And will receive God's judgment. If for any reason you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve and worship them. Now what is it to have other gods? You got a local temple somewhere you're going to? The catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism gets it so right. What are idols? An idol is to have anything in which to place our trust alongside of or instead of the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word. When we're putting our trust in other things, whether it's alongside of God or above him, then we're making that an idol. Whether it's good crops, rain, whether it's doctors who can help me out supposedly, or whether it's political or other things, we can make those into false gods. And we have to be careful that God is God. All of these things come second or third. God doesn't play second fiddle well. And Moses says what? If we serve other gods, then you shall surely perish. Judgment. Just like the other nations that the Lord is destroying before Israel. They had followed false gods. He says, because you will not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. We have an advantage when we are talking about serving God. We have His word. He tells us what He expects. That's this whole idea of covenant. Follow me. God promises what He will do. But if we don't serve Him and serve other gods, we are in greater danger as well. Because if we serve other gods, we know better. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful that having God, having provided for us so much blessing, not only on this earth, but eternally, we need to be very careful that we do not then trust in the blessings instead of the God who provides those blessings. It can be so easy for us to become complacent or to want more, more, more from God instead of like that child coming to God knowing He is going to provide what is best. He is going to provide that which is perfect. And not only does He provide it here and now when our minds are so easily on things, but He provides eternal blessing, eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. What an awesome God and Savior. Amen. Let us then bow our heads in our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we would not take for granted what You have provided for us. That You have provided for us blessings on this earth. But above and beyond that, You have provided for us eternal blessings in the heavens. We pray, Lord, that we would not look at the things and the stuff and want those things, but rather that we would seek to use the things that You have provided for us for the glory of the God who is worthy of all of that glory and honor. We pray, Lord, in thanksgiving that You have revealed to us how we are to live in Your world. We pray, Lord, that we would have a righteous fear of You, of disobeying You, of Your chastening. We pray, Lord, that we would take well when You do send to us trials, knowing that these trials are not random, but that they are opportunities for us to learn and opportunities for us to glorify Your name. We pray, Lord, help us in these things to do exactly that, to be good students, and indeed to glorify the God who is worthy of all glory in good times and in hard. We know that these things come not by chance, but by Your fatherly hand. And so we look to Your hand in thanksgiving for the most important gift, the gift of Your Son and His gift of eternal life. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.